looking at some happy fans outside of MetLife Stadium, and happy for a reason. Their Giants improved their record today to 3-2 with a 41-27 victory over the Cleveland Browns. How you doing, everybody? I'm Russ Salzberg. Welcome to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. Today we're outside of MetLife Stadium on the stage at MetLife Central, along with my colleagues Roman Oben, Howard Cross, and Amani Toomer. It was not an easy one. Certainly didn't start out that way. Giants were losing 14-0 less than 5 minutes into the game. But I guess, guys, it's not how you start. It's how you finish, as long as you finish the right way.
Well, the course of events, guys, in the first quarter that caused the Giants to kind of play a little catch-up early. But they responded. Champions respond. And good job running the ball. Good job by the offensive line. Good job across the board in a game that everyone expected them to win.
Well, good job by a lot of things. You know, the ball was a little wet there right in the first part of the game. It was raining. I was expecting, you know, maybe for Cleveland to turn it over right off the bat, but they didn't. And what happens is the Giants, they bounced back quick. The only thing I didn't like, no sacks on the quarterback.
It's kind of like a microcosm of last year's season. They start out, stub at their toe, and then in the end they come on strong and wipe them up. But I just feel that there's a lot of good things that they can take from today. The running game got on track. Ahmad Bradshaw showed a little promise. So now when teams go in to look at what they're going to do to try and defeat the New York Giants on offense, they have to account for the running game, which opens up the passing game, which we all love, right?
Well, I love the running game.
Let's be frank, though. This is a game that they were playing an inferior team. They had to have this game, especially with the three tough games coming up.
Man, I don't know if it's so much an inferior game. You got to think about this. The Giants were 2-2. If at 2-2, you can't really overlook anybody. You can't really say, hey, you know what? We can beat these guys. Because you haven't proven that you can beat anybody yet, because you're really average at 2-2.
But when you look at the Cleveland Browns, though, they're 0-4.
You hadn't proven anything.
And the way this game started, you're 0-2 in the division. You definitely don't want to lose two at home. And I think the Giants had to come out here and prove that they were not going to lose two games at home this season.
Especially with the rest of their season that's coming up. Yeah. San Francisco next week, they're going to have a tough couple of games. They can't afford to lose this one and get behind the eight ball even further.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can talk about Ahmad Bradshaw, big game. You can talk about Victor Cruz, always talking about Eli. But to me, the guy who made the play of the game for the Giants was one Stevie Brown, because that interception turned the entire game and the whole building inside out.
Well, the interception came, and then on the kickoff return fumble, same guy. You see number 27 come out with that football. So, I mean, I know Carl Banks said he was Johnny on the spot on the radio broadcast, but hey, good luck happens when preparation meets opportunity, and Steve Brown definitely turned around the course of this football game.
You got to give the credit go to Will Hill, the guy who knocked the ball out on
great
that
play
on that,
by Will Hill
on that kickoff.
Yeah. Once again, we are live at the stage at MetLife Central. A lot more coming up. Have the coach coming up in a little bit. Remember, folks, buy and sell your Giants tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. The buyers get in, and the sellers, they get paid. Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on My9. A lot more coming up, so stay right where you are. Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about. Happy fans outside of Giants, I should say MetLife Stadium. And I like our new digs because the fans are close to us. Our new digs being just outside the stadium on the stage at MetLife Central. And again, fans are happy for a good reason. Their Giants are now 3-2. All right, folks, guests of our post-game show receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Terrific Steakhouse with not one but two convenient locations in Manhattan. One's on East 44th and the other at 28th and 5th Avenue. I'm talking about from the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, which I can go for either or right now. Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. And I will tell you what, I'm enjoying these new digs. We've got the fans all out here with us right here at MetLife Central. It's a good thing. It's also a good thing, again, as I said, the Giants came up today because the Eagles were losers to the Steelers, so now they own a share of first place.
Good thing for them to be, you know, owning a share of first place. But you know what I like today, which was really great? A lot of guys stepping up. They hadn't had a chance to make some plays. Reuben Randle today steps up. I know, you know, rookie receiver. They don't talk about him a lot. There's like, does he want to play? Does he not want to play? He did a great job catching the ball over and over again. He had like one series of basically his drive.
Yeah, Reuben Randle definitely impressed, but it was David Wilson for me. You know, he's trying to get out of the doghouse. He had a fumble early on in his career. He hasn't been able to get back on the field. The best way to get out of Tom Coughlin's doghouse, catch a handoff and go 40 to the house. You'll get out of there pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, thinking of guys stepping up, you know, we haven't said this a lot. When you don't mention offensive linemen, that's a good thing. And a left tackle named Will Beatty, the last couple of games, he's really quietly done his job. You know, he had the holding call last year that negated the Martellus Bennett pass against the Eagles game. But he did a good job today. No false starts, no penalties, no holding. That's the kind of effort you need out of the left tackle position if you're going to continue to play downfield.
Now, on the flip side, and you alluded to this earlier, Howard, there were no sacks. It's not so much to me about the sacks. You tell me this. It's about the only guy to me getting penetration on a consistent basis is JPP, and I think that's why he has a shortage of sacks because nobody else is getting in.
What it is, you know, like I said, they kind of follow the Yankees in. If they hit home runs, they win a lot of games. If the Giants get a lot of sacks, then all of a sudden their defense is playing better. You know, you got I cover a lot of things.
It is the postseason.
But what happens is, you know, without them being able to get sacks and pressure on the quarterback, it puts a lot more pressure on the secondary, it puts a lot more pressure on the linebackers, and they're just not doing it.
I'm going to have to cut you off for a second. We're going to go right down to the coach. Tom Coughlin is at the podium.
Picked up a fumble put us in good field position, and, you know, we're starving for that kind of stuff. We're looking for the turnovers all the time to feed off of that. You know, they end up getting two. They got one on the first play of the game, which was a downer, obviously, for us. But, you know, we battled back. We obviously have some things that we've got to shore up, for example, defensively, without a doubt. But, you know, right now we're going to celebrate the win, and that was not an easy win. You know, we knew coming in that this would be a tough football game, and I told you that when I first met with you. And what really was impressive was the running game, and thank goodness we got that going. So that was a big part of this today. Bradshaw had a big day, but he walked in the locker room, gave credit to the offensive line, which did a really outstanding job. David Wilson got a chance to help us out. Cruz had a big game. Eli had a big game you know, touchdown passes, we did a better job. I don't know what the exact number is, but I think we did a better job in the green zone today than we have been doing. Right. We said that this would be Ruben's opportunity, that we needed him, that we counted on him today. And I mentioned that, and I thought he did play well. You know, he made some key plays there when we were trying to get ourselves going with some momentum, and he came through under those circumstances. I'll have to see the rest of the game to see what that was all about, whether he continued in that fashion or not. But, again, he's one of those guys that had to play well for us to win, and he did play well and got us going. Excuse me? Well, we don't plan on it. You know, we talk about starting well, starting fast. I mean, that's what the idea was. But we did talk about finishing, too. And so we did finish, yeah.
When your running game gets off the way it does today, does it change the way you want to call it yet?
No, I think the balance factor. I don't know how many rushes we had versus how many throws, but I think it was close because it sounded like the rushing and passing yardage was very, very, very close. No. That was, I think when you look at the tape, it's a little bit more freakish than you think. I think there was some up front, some blocking going on, and I saw his arm leave his side rather violently. I don't know how that happened, but I'll look forward to seeing that. He felt bad about that, but it didn't change his demeanor about how he went about his business. So, and he's been very, very cognizant. You know, following the one season when he did turn the ball over of ball security, and he's done a pretty good job.
I don't know if anybody told you or yourself, but he actually hit
Snead
on the play. So.
There you go. You know more than I do. No, I heard that on the sideline. It sure did, yeah. And he came back, and it was almost one for one there for him, and I was very happy about that. But, yeah, it did give us great field position, took one away from them, or at least three. Chase's play at the end of the game was a big play. You know, an interception right there. Well, I'm hoping, it got to be a point where they needed to throw the ball more than they could run it, obviously with the score. they did have success, and that's a very good running back, and it's very difficult. He's a low-target tackle guy, and if you don't rap on him, he obviously made some plays after the first hit. So definitely we have to shore that up, but that's a good runner. He's way up there. You know, I can't give you – I don't know what you're comparing it to, but he's as physically tough and as competitive as anybody I've ever been around. I wish I had the answer for you. I mean, I know everybody wants to get rid of the ball quickly. There's a lot of three-step in there. There's no doubt about that. But there's also chances, and we're just not taking advantage of them. So we just keep working. That's all. I before I see the tape, I can't really tell you what this team did. I can tell you what other teams have done in terms of chipping and three-step drops and keeping extra people around. This team did keep the back around, and he was active in there. So. Well, we'll get to that shortly. Let's enjoy this one for now. San Francisco is a very good team, and we'll have to be at our best. We'd like to get some folks back on the field. That might help.
All right, from the head coach downstairs, back up to us at the stage at our new digs at MetLife Central here. And, you know, we talk about the coach. How about some kudos to one general manager giving the coach guys to work with? Because his personnel and talking about the receivers, one guy goes down, and this has been week after week after week.
Yeah, Jerry Reese has done a great job of stocking this lineup with talent. The fact that people keep getting hurt and people keep stepping up and making plays like Ruben Randall did today, that just goes to show how good the general manager, Jerry Reese, has done in terms of putting talent with Tom Coughlin.
Well, and let's not overstate the person who's at under the center behind the quarterback position. We have a guy like Eli Manning who can get these guys his ball.
That helps.
You'll see Ramsey Barton step up. You'll see Dominic Hickson, who everyone has familiarity with this offense. And obviously Ruben Randall today, who did an excellent job. But good ball distribution from Eli Manning. When you start off, again, first quarter, with your backs against the wall, down 14-0, 11-play drive. Come back with a 14-play drive when you're down 17-7. So when you got that leadership, that quarterback position, that's huge to get these young guys involved.
But go back to what Coach Coughlin was saying. If you think about what he was saying right there, he was saying basically he named a whole host of Giants who contributed and did a great job out there on the field, which was great. But he also voiced some frustration. Frustration in not being able to get to the quarterback. You got to get some hits. You got to get some pressure. And some frustration in some guys not being on the field with some injuries. He needs those guys back. You know, it's going to be a tough game next week against the Niners, and he's thinking about that already.
You think it'll be a tough game? Yeah, I think it'll be a tough game. All right, folks. Well, this segment is brought to you by Adorama, the official electronics dealer of the Giants. Text Adorama to 88769 for a free gift. And, again, here's a look at the fans outside of our stage here at MetLife Central. And you know what? I like this because they're part of the show now. Especially when it's a happy ending, and today was a happy ending with a 41-27 Giants victory. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more coming up, including Paul Dottino with reaction from the players on the field. We got Eli Manning coming up, so you want to stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on My9.
Victor, 3 touchdown catches today. I know Akeem Nicks was out and so was Barden, but could you imagine stepping up that big with 3 scores?
I didn't think so, but you know, you come into every game just trying to do the best you can and trying to make plays for your team each and every time you touch the football, and today I was able to do that.
Looked like a lot of man coverage that you guys were able to beat. Is that what you expected on film?
A little bit. We knew once we got inside the 20 they were going to play a lot of man coverage, and we had our play call set to defeat that, And you know, myself along with the rest of the receiving corps, we did that today.
You had said during the week, must win. Giants were 2-2, needed to get this one at home. How satisfying is it?
Very satisfying. We knew we needed this one, needed one bad for our confidence and all that. So it was good to come in here at home and get a victory.
Victor Cruz, thank you. Well, Ruben, you had an opportunity today to show what you could do, and I think you're going to be pretty satisfied when you look at the films.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good showing. You know, I just came out here and did my job. It wasn't nothing special. Just came out here and did what the coaches asked me to do, and that's what I did.
How difficult was it knowing that you were going to have a much bigger role in the offense this week as opposed to, you know, when you were preparing earlier this year and you knew you weren't going to get the ball?
It wasn't that much of a difference. I mean, just the opportunity came and just had to take advantage of it. Like, I prepared myself each and every week the same, and here I got a lot more playing time and I was able to show my ability.
You had made some big plays during the preseason. Do you think that helped your confidence out?
I think so. I mean, that's all about coming out here and being comfortable, and that's what I want to do, come out here. Show the coaches that I come out here and play, just get comfortable out there on the field and go play fast.
Ruben Randle, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, back to you guys.
All right, thank you, Paul Dottino. Russ Salzberg with you, along with Roman Oben, Howard Cross, and Amani Tuma. And you are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex. Again, at our new digs, the stage at the MetLife Central. And listening to a young man over there, Ruben Randle, again, we alluded to it before, all the different interchangeable parts at wide receiver. And when you get that running game going like it was going today, it just makes it that much better.
Well, you think about this. Sorry about that, Roman. You think about Ruben Randle coming in and playing and trying to make some plays and trying to find a way to get something going on. Last year when Cruz first had his first play, he blew up with confidence. Randle makes a couple plays, and all of a sudden his confidence starts to grow. You can hear it right there in his talk after the game.
Yeah, and you look at that hit that he took and still caught those three balls in a row in that same spot of the football field. And what that does is it presents a huge problem defensively, because down the field, if one guy's injured and another guy steps up, you eventually are going to have to scheme for six different guys, and you're not even talking about Nix being back. You're not even talking about, I mean, Barton wasn't in today. I mean, Hixon. I mean, they've really done a good job, really, Amani, as you know. When you've got even young players that can come in and understand this difficult Gilbride offense, I mean, that really shows that you got some smart guys breaking that huddle.
Yeah, it does. And the fact that he got a chance to get out there and get some confidence, I mean, that's what he really needs. Everybody knows, you know, coming out of LSU, he has a lot of ability and a lot of talent. It's all about him getting out there and making the plays to make himself start believing that he can make the plays. Because once he does that, we're going to start to see more ability of him come out.
And, you know, when they went on that 92-yard drive, Eli was 6 for 6 passes. Four of those went to Ruben Randle.
You know, a big-bodied guy, you know, a big-bodied receiver. You see that around the league. You know, receivers that were small, they're kind of being out, you know, outmanned, outdated, out of time probably. Now the guys are all big, fast, strong guys that catch the ball, kind of like,
yeah,
you,
like
Money.
I'd like to say that. No,
so they get bigger, taller guys. Taking advantage of the smaller DBs, that's what the league's turned into.
Well, I'm sure, Amani, you know, in the old days, the big guys were
back when you played.
Consider we're in the same draft class. But in the old days, the big guys were the possession receivers. Now you're seeing guys 6'4", 220 pounds, run up and down the field, 4'4", 40s. I mean, the speed and athleticism at the receiver position, when you can get a guy like Ruben Randle, again, coming out of college, this difficult system, it's tremendous what these guys can do on the football field.
All right, let's go to the guy who gets him the ball.
Exactly.
The quarterback, Eli Manning, at the podium.
You know, 55 minutes left. We had plenty of time. It's obviously not the way you want to start, but you know, we never get down. We never get frustrated or start to panic. We were able to put some good drives together offensively, not forcing things, just taking what the defense was giving us. And then defense got us some turnovers. Special teams got us a turnover, and we were able to take advantage of that, get touchdowns, and some guys made some big plays for us. Yeah, you know, we needed some young guys to definitely step up, and you know, Ruben Randle made some great plays for us and did some good things. So that's obviously what we've expected of him, and it's good to see it. You know, he took some shots, took some hits, and stayed tough and played well. So that was exciting. I thought our offensive line played outstanding. They really dominated the line of scrimmage in the run game and the pass game. What's that again? Yeah, you know, three touchdowns and did a great job. And, you know, teams are trying to take him away some and double team him and do some different things. But he finds a way to get open. And he has a great feel for what teams are trying to do and, you know, adjusting his route and running it differently to get open. You know, he's doing a great job and learning and getting better each week. But I thought all the receivers, tight ends, everybody did a great job getting open today. No, you know, hey, things happen. You know, fumbles happen. You don't like them. You know, my pregame talk today was all about starting fast. So obviously that got thrown out the window pretty early, and they didn't listen to me on that. But we were able to stay, you know, fight back into the game, and you know, I thought our guys. You don't have to say things like that. You know, they don't say anything to me if I make a bad play. We just know. I know Ahmad, he's strong, and he's going to fight back and end up having a big day for us. You know, he made some big runs, made some guys miss. Offensive line, tight ends, you know, fullbacks were doing a great job, you know, opening up some holes and giving him opportunity. I mean, if you give him a little, you give him a little crack, he can make something happen. So, you know, that's fun to see when our offense can do that and we can run the ball like that and can make us very dangerous as an offense. No, trying to get it out of bounds and something down the sideline, you know, expecting they were going to play some sort of zone cover two, but they end up playing, you know, kind of man-to-man on him. So we faked like we were running a post and went to the corner, hoping that he was going to catch it and get out of bounds. But obviously, you know, the pass interference is even better. So we'll take that. Good job getting 3 points right before half. Thank you.
All right, that was quarterback Eli Manning, and as he said, they didn't listen to him about the fast start, but again, it's how you finish. And you know, he also alluded to Ahmad Bradshaw. I think we would all agree, a direct correlation we got Justin Tuck at the podium, so let's go to the podium, and we'll get to Ahmad Bradshaw in a little bit.
Momentum swing for us. You know, you made a great play on the ball and returned it back into position where our offense was able to punch it in, and that kind of got us rolling. Yes, I am. But, you know, like I said last week, we just continue to pound it. You know, guys are figuring us out, so we got to do some different things and trying to free up our guys. You know, I don't think it's anything about effort or anything like that. I feel as though, you know, it just ain't going our way right now. But we won't make any excuses about it, and we'll just continue to try to, you know, get it right.
You did bat some balls down today.
No, not at all. But, you know, that's something you got to do when guys are – you know, trying to get that quick game in. They threw a lot of slants right over our three technique head, and we had seen it on film. So we wanted to do a great job of kind of discouraging that, and, it, you know, that was part of it.
How about Bradshaw when he bounced back and then the right way controlled
the ball today? Yeah, I mean, you know, coming out in the first carry and fumbling like that, it you know, a lesser running back would have, you know, kind of win the tank. But, you know, Bradshaw is one of those guys that is very strong physically and mentally, and he's a tough back. So we knew that he would bounce back, and they opened up some holes for him and got him going. And, you know, I think this was probably one of his biggest days in a Giant uniform. So we're proud of that guy for, you know, bouncing back and helping us get a win today. Yeah. Stop the run. That's where it all starts, man. You know, they had some success running the ball on us early, so it got us out of rhythm a little bit and, you know, got them in rhythm a little bit. So it all starts with stopping the run and pinning them in those third and long situations or second and long situations. And, you know, we just got to be ready to, you know, pounce on it when it comes. And I believe it will. But like I said, we're not going to make any excuses about it. We haven't played to the caliber of, you know, what we can. So we'll go back to the film room and try to get it right. Thanks, guys.
All right, and fans, I'll tell you, with this Giants victory, you're going to be able to buy any 6-inch or foot-long sub, get any 6-inch, foot-long, or a foot-long sub of equal or lesser price free. That's right, free. Go to Giants.com/Subway to print your free Subway coupon. Subway, the official restaurant of the man you just heard from, Justin Tuck, the New York Giants, and athletes everywhere. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here on My9. Stay with us. A lot more coming back.
Ahmad, a career high, 200 yards. You got the magic number. I don't know, did you know you were closing in because you got those last few carries there when the game was already kind of clinched and they left you on the field so you can gain the extra yardage?
Well, yeah, man. You know my linemen, they realize it, they let me know. And
they can add?
right. They see the board, they're watching. You know, we're just happy for this win today. And, you know, we're very excited. You know, I have a lot of confidence in my O-line, in my offense, and, you know, we just executed today.
You know, you're tired of hearing questions about the running game, I am sure. So now the Giants run for well over 200 today. David Wilson adds that 40-yard touchdown for good measure. What was it that clicked so well so that you had the holes and that you were able to bust them?
We just had confidence today. You know, we knew we were going to run the ball, so we came in the game with a lot of confidence up front, you know, O-line and, you know, everybody on the offense. So we expected this. You know, the 200 is an understatement how hard we worked for this.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, being down 14-0 first 5 minutes of the game, it had to be a real difficult emotional roller coaster for you guys to then suck it up and come back. But, again, I heard all week how you guys were unhappy with that Philadelphia game.
Yeah, man, we fought hard. You know, after that first play when I fumbled, you know, I just took it in all concept and, you know, just put it into my running game. And, you know, I just tried to run with anger after that. I was mad at myself. And, you know, everybody was telling me they had my back, so I knew I was comfortable.
Did the wet ball have anything to do with the fumble?
No. You know, I tried to make a cut back, and the ball hit on one of my linemen, you know, and just popped out. I was just unaware.
Mark Bradshaw, congratulations. 200 yards today. That's a big-time number.
Thanks, man.
Back to you guys.
All right, Paul and Ahmad, 200 indeed is a big-time number, 30 carries for an average of 6.7 yards. But he was asked, why did it click so well? I think why it clicked so well, I think everybody would agree, because he was running straight ahead, not doing a whole lot of jitterbugging. For a little guy, he runs like a big man, and that's why he needs to run like that.
Yeah, he really needs to get the run angry all the time, like he said. He doesn't run in angry before. He's running like fat and happy, like a fat cat. He needs to run like somebody stole his wallet. That's what he needs to run like more often.
Well, you know, the one thing that helps him out a lot when you say he's running right up the middle, running downhill, is you say when the linemen are making their blocks and they're on their block, you're doing arm tackles when you're a defensive lineman. You're not getting the big hits on a guy. He's a small guy, but he does run powerful. And when he runs straight ahead like that, the linemen are appreciating, okay, man, you just follow me, you can get another 5 yards.
Yeah, and I just love the accountability that Ahmad Bradshaw, you run into Chris Knee's shoulder, they show it on the slow motion, you fumble the ball, everyone said, look, we've got your back. You go back to last year, rushed for 649 yards, missed four games. I mean, he rushed for a third of his rushing yards total last year in one game, so Ahmad Bradshaw, along with Justin Tuck earlier, he was one of the guys this year said they've got to play really well this year for the Giants to play the way they're capable of playing. So he definitely took a big step today in doing that.
All right, guys, let's see if don't answer it. We want the people to think about it. But this is the Sports Authority question of the week, folks. The Giants' first home game was played in this stadium. Was it Yankee Stadium, the Yale Bowl, or
Howard,
the Polo Grounds?
Howard, which one was
You're
it?
You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex here on My9. You just heard from Imani Tuma, Howard Cross, Bill Manoban. I'm Russ Salzberg. We're at the stage at MetLife Central. Stay with us. We're coming back. All right, well, folks, we asked you, our Sports Authority question was, the Giants' first home game was played in this stadium. Was it Yankee Stadium, the Yale Bowl, or the Polo Grounds? And your answer is the Polo Grounds' first game for the Giants. Sports Authority, the official retail sporting goods store of the Giants. We're talking about Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Now let's go back downstairs with Paul Dottino.
Well, thanks so much, Russ. And wide receiver Dominic Kixon, another guy who had a real good game today. You know, Cruz had the 3 touchdown catches, and Reuben Randle broke out with a breakout game. But another consistent performance by you coming off the heels of the 100-plus yards you had in Philadelphia. Dominic, you just keep getting it done. It's got to feel good.
I appreciate it. You know, I thank God, to be honest with you. Heading out there playing with my friends and teammates is awesome, man. Just trying to go out there, have fun, and go get W's.
The receiving core was a bit depleted. You knew that Nix and Barden were not going to play. As a unit, what did you guys do during the week to kind of rally yourselves to know that you had to step up with guys missing?
Yeah, you know, we have kind of a saying just with the receiver core, if somebody goes down, we got to step up. And that's regardless of who it is. And I feel that, you know, from rookie to vet, you know, we got guys that can play. And, you know, like I said, we're going to step up. We're going to play hard.
A lot of big plays out of this offense today. I think it was 15 or more plays of 10-plus yards, which is really, really explosive for an offense. What was the key to you guys being able to do that, not only in the passing game but in the running game?
You know, Coach Goffman did a great job throughout the week just getting us prepared for what we're going to see. And we seen it to a T, and, you know, that makes our job a little easier with some, you know, real good play calls out there. And like I said, we just want to go out there and play hard. We didn't get the start we wanted to, but, you know, we definitely finished.
Okay, and then finally, this team after 5 games has never been worse than 3-2 under Tom Coughlin's tenure. You're now going out to San Francisco. You got to feel a lot better about that plane ride than if you would have come off a loss.
Oh, absolutely. Cleveland's a talented team, and like I said, we got a big one coming up, and we really get to test ourselves and against a good San Fran team. So it's going to be a battle out there for sure.
Dominic Hixon, thanks for your time. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, guys, back to you.
Paul Dottino with Dominic Hixon. You know, we've been talking about a lot of different receivers stepping forward. You can't root for a guy better than Dominic Hixon 2 years in a row with the bad injury to come back. And he's not just performing. He's given big-time contributions.
Yeah, I spoke to Dominic Hixon during preseason, that first preseason game against Jacksonville. So I'm on the sidelines, had the ball in his hand, almost like, the high school kid who doesn't go anywhere without the football. I said, look, I'm rooting for you. I know you're coming back. It's been tough. Thank you, sir. I'm working as hard as I can. Call me sir. That just means I'm old. But look, Dominic Hixon is a guy that the Giants community coaching staff, everyone's really rooted for. He came up big today. Howard's still laughing. But again, this is the confidence you need when you get on that five-hour plane ride next week going to San Francisco 49ers. They definitely needed this one today against a talented football team in Cleveland. 27 guys in this Cleveland Browns team that are first-year players or less. So they're going to be good down the line in their conference, but this is a game they needed getting on that plane ride.
I'm going to drop the whole thing when they say, what the press always says, hey, it's a confidence builder. It has nothing to do with confidence. When you get on the plane to go to San Francisco, you got a fight on your hands, and you know it. It's going to be ugly. You're looking forward to it. This game is over with. You can wipe it off. I wouldn't even watch a film of this game. I'd get ready for San Francisco tonight.
I got to go in there with all my mojo.
Oh my,
I got to go in there with every little bit of ounce of confidence I get, because Howard, it's going to be a fight. But you want to know that you beat the last people you played really badly. Show it, re-highlight it every week on the screen.
You don't want to go 0-2 going in that 49ers game.
You want to get ready to go, man. I'm telling you, you play guys like San Francisco 49ers. You find certain teams like that in your career when you're playing, and the Niners are going to be that team. They're going to be a hard nose. They like to run the ball. They're very physical all around on the defense and the offensive side of the ball. You got to get ready for them. And like, hey, the game's over. Let's move forward.
And most important, you got to go there with an attitude. You're going to make them say, sir, at the end of the game.
All right, you're watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Timex here on My Nine. We are live at the stage at MetLife Central. Stay with us. We're coming back.
Well, Sean, you got a 200-yard back today in Ahmad Bradshaw, almost 250 yards on the ground rushing, and this comes after all the criticism that you guys could not run the ball. Right. It's got to feel good.
It is. It is good. We got down early, but we got some turnovers early in the game, and we were able to get back into it and get our offense back where we wanted to go.
What was it that allowed this thing to snowball? I know Stevie Brown had the pick, and then the fumble recovery. That certainly changed the momentum of the game. But offensively, once you guys got going, it didn't look like you could be stopped.
Yeah. I mean, the first opening play of the game, we get a fumble. Fumbled and ball on the 20. You never want to do that. And before you know it, we were down, I think, 14-0 with 10 minutes left in the first quarter. So you never want to be like that. But, we got some turnovers. Stevie Brown, I think, got back-to-back turnovers and gave us a chance to get the ball, and we scored some points. And the rest is history.
You've been in this league for the better part of a decade. You've seen a lot of things.
Right.
And, now it's your first year with the Giants. I wonder what your impressions are of the leadership, the resiliency, the guys in this locker room. Very disappointed with that loss in Philadelphia. But to come back and do what they did to a Cleveland Browns team today is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. We take one game at a time. It's a cliche, but it's true. Yeah, we didn't come out with the win last week, but you got to let it go. There's nothing we can do about it, nothing you can change. You just got to move on to the next week, and we did a good job of that. Cleveland coming into town, we had some chances, speaking of the offense, to go out and do some things, and I think we had over like 500 yards total offense.
Yeah, a big-time number, and of course, San Fran next week. That's a long flight and a very formidable foe.
Right, and that's a tough test. I wasn't here last year, but these guys, I was thinking it was the NFC Championship game. They went down there and won, and, they're going to be probably had this checked on their schedules, at the beginning of the season when the schedules come out. So it's going to be tough, but we'll be ready.
Sean Locklear, thanks for your time. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, back to you.
All right, thank you, Paul and Sean Locklear. A very good acquisition for the Giants this offseason. I'll tell you what, Giants also got some help today. Let's take a look at some scores. Some teams did the Giants some favors. Not only were the Giants 41-20 27 winners here. But take a look at that. Your Falcons took care of business for the Giants, defeating the Skins, and the Steelers as well, taking care of the Eagles. So all of a sudden, things are looking good. If you take a look at the standings, you're going to see that the Giants are at 3-2, tied with the Philadelphia Eagles, followed by the Cowboys, 2-2, and the Redskins, 2-3. And I'll tell you, we alluded to this last week after that loss. This is very important. Today was very important. Now, they have three games coming up, the big one in Frisco, but that's followed by two division games, and they've already lost two in a division. So this is a crucial three-game series.
It's a big series for them. You know, every game football is such a great sport because every game counts so much, and they only have a 16-game schedule. The first quarter of the season is over. They start off this quarter with a win. They need to win more games in the NFC. They got to win them in the NFC East, but they need to win more games in the NFC. Every time you do that, that pushes you a little bit closer, takes one more step towards the playoffs.
Yeah, especially when you lose early, you stumble opening against Dallas. Obviously, a loss last week to the Philadelphia Eagles. You say this conference, this division rather, has to play the NFC South, has to play the North. So they're going to take care of their business. Other teams are going to beat each other up. You just have to continue to take care of your business every single week. You're going to see Dallas again. You're going to see Philadelphia again, obviously, in Week 17. But you just keep winning. Second quarter of the season, I say you probably have to go undefeated this quarter, realistically. But you look at it one game at a time, starting with a very tough physical game next week in San Francisco.
Yeah, they're in the standings. It looks like they're tied for first place, but really they're about third, because if the Cowboys win their third game, they're behind both of those teams because they lost to them in the head-to-head matchup, and that's where the really important thing comes in the next 2 weeks when they play the in-division games, because they have they're 0-2 in the division. That's something that they cannot overcome if their record is equal, because the tiebreaker goes to the other team.
On a positive side, I don't think we've seen the best, really a totally – I guess against Carolina was a very good game, but we haven't seen the complete game on both sides of the ball, defense, offense, everything.
I think the thing we're still looking for is that pass rush. I think everything else seems to be – we've seen a little bit here, a little bit of there of everything, but we haven't seen any of the pass rush, and we're still waiting. We're waiting for Justin Tuck to finally get to the stadium. You know, we saw him there talking, but we hadn't gotten to the stadium yet. Yeah. He needs to get there. He needs to hit the quarterback. He's got to sack the quarterback. He's all these things we're looking for. We see OC getting there. We see JPP getting there, but we're still waiting for these guys to show up, the NASCAR package. Everything's talked about on every channel, how great these guys are. They're still waiting on it.
This defense has relied so heavily on this pass rush, Howard, that when the pass rush doesn't get there, it puts a much pressure on that depleted secondary with those injuries. You get a guy like a rookie, Josh Gordon. I mean, rookie supplemental draft pick from Cleveland, Josh Gordon, with Chase Blackburn covering him downfield, you know, for a 60-yard touchdown. So when that pass rush doesn't get there, which is what this defense was based off of, you're really leaving your linebackers and defensive secondary in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah, no question about that. But what they're doing is they're kind of giving up on the pass rush. That's why they're getting so much knockdown passes, because they're not trying to go to the quarterback because they know they're not going to get there, because teams are scheming them out of the equation. So they're stopping, getting the ball, knocking balls down. That's what they're doing. They need to get a position to where the secondary makes the quarterback hold the ball a little bit longer so that pass rush can get there and them not try to knock down balls.
Good news is it was a 41-27 victory. You are watching Giants post-game live here on My9. Again, we're at our new Digs stage outside of the stadium at MetLife Central. Again, stay with us. We're coming back. And welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Timex, here at the stage at MetLife Central. Fans have scattered. Most of them have gone home, but some of them are sticking around. Always nice to be sticking around when you got on the right end of a 41-27 score, which the Giants were today. All right, what do you say we go back downstairs for Paul Dottino, who spoke with the guy who we were talking about maybe to play the game, Stevie Brown?
Well, Stevie, I tell you, you can't do much better stepping up and coming up with two turnovers and back-to-back plays, the pick, the fumble recovery. Why don't you take us through it and tell us how satisfying it is to contribute to a win such as this?
It felt good. I mean, whenever I was out there, I could see it was a sprint out pass. I kind of knew we didn't like to throw it to his running back in the flat. When he let go of it, I could see it was high, so I was breaking to get it.
So that's the pick. How about the fumble recovery?
The fumble, I was coming down, and my job was the safety right there at that time. Will Hill came through on the backside, made a great play, stripped Cribs, and then rolled to me.
You know, so many times when I hear a new player come to a team, whether it's a veteran or a rookie, they say that I need a breakout game. I need one of those games where I kind of change the momentum of the game to feel like I'm a part of the team. Has that been the case with you? Does this make you feel even more like a Giant?
No, I felt like a Giant the day I signed my contract.
Well, that's pretty good. Because they treated you well, right?
Definitely, definitely. It was a great organization. That's why I came here. And, yeah, I mean, I felt like this was a good game for me. I mean, you know, I had some mistakes, but I was able to bounce back and continue to play, and I was able to get better and grow.
Well, we know Kenny Phillips is out right now with the knee. You don't know how long he's going to be out. And Antrell Roll banged up with the knee. Gutsy performance by him again to go out onto the field. And you guys didn't lose any communication, even though earlier in the season you hadn't played a lot. It seemed as though everything was so smooth. What made it work so well?
Like you said, a communication. And before every single play, after every single play, me and Trell make sure we looked at each other, talked to each other. I had Webby on my side most of the time at corner, so I'd always look at Webby. I'd talk to him. And as long as we were all on the same page, we're good.
You know, it's funny. One more thing I would say is that the yardage number at the end is probably not the number you want to see in the 27 points, but some of it in garbage time. How satisfied are you that you guys did what you had to do and now you got to go out to San Fran for a very big test?
Definitely good. You know, you don't want to go out to San Fran 2-3. So, you know, we're able to bounce back, finish on a strong note so we can go out there with a little confidence, a little momentum.
Stevie Brown, congratulations. Heck of a game today.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, with Stevie Brown. You know, we spoke about it briefly before. A lot of guys are getting, you know, applauded today, and well, they should. Eli, I mean, here's a guy I think we've come to take for granted because just how good he is. But I'm not just talking about talent-wise. His leadership, his disposition, you heard Ahmad Bradshaw talk about it. He doesn't get upset. He never gives the feeling to his teammates that he's down on them with a big fumble or something like that. Like Eli said, I wanted to start fast, but we didn't. They didn't listen to me, kind of almost joking around about it. But the players feed off his disposition.
I'm sorry, but they have to. I mean, yeah. He's a calm guy. He does the same thing all the time. He's excited or he's down. It doesn't matter. It's the same person. And when you look at him, you go into the huddle, you think, this is your guy. He's going to do it again. And that's what they thought last week when he got into that situation. Eli can handle it. He'll take care of it.
Yeah, when you got a guy like Eli Manning, he always has this unassuming, you know, leadership qualities about him. And he kind of goes on. I always use this term, this monotonous consistency in how he does his job. And where you can get young players involved, guys coming off of injuries. I mean, there's a certain, like, just team cohesiveness that everyone just plays with in this team. I mean, this is a game they were expected to win, injuries or anything else, no matter what. This is a game they were expected to win, and they all played together as a team. And you have leadership at certain key positions. Eli Manning offensively. You know, Justin Tuck, JPP, some of those guys defensively. I think defensively they're going to continue to play a little bit better throughout the course of the season. But it does start with leadership at certain key positions. And you're right, Russ. It starts with Eli Manning on offense. And
Imani, let me ask you. I mean, when this group won its first Super Bowl, I mean, and you retired, they're talking about, well, who's going to catch the ball? I mean, how many times have we heard that over maybe not the last 2 years, who's going to catch the ball? Then there was injuries. It doesn't matter. Eli gets on the ball. How much of a confidence factor is that when he's showing a receiver, doesn't matter who you are, you're part of this team?
Well, that's the key thing about it is he makes you be abreast of what's going on because you never know where he's going to go with the ball. He has confidence in people that nobody even knows or are on the on the field yet. Because remember, we're talking about what had happened last year when Victor Cruz came on the scene. He said he had more confidence in Victor Cruz and his playing ability than Victor Cruz had his own ability. And when you have a quarterback that just knows what to look for in players and knows how to get players involved in the game plan, that's when you have a real leader, because people really understand that he's going to be there in the fourth quarter. He's not going to get rattled ever. And to play in this market, you have to be that way. You can't let any media, can't let anything get into your mind. You got to be able to block everything out and just play consistent football.
You know, one thing I liked about this, when you heard him talking after the game, he said, I gave a pregame speech and we talked about starting fast. You don't think of Eli as a guy who's giving the pregame speech. I think that's a cool thing. That's a leadership thing that, you know, when you're on the outside looking in, even us who believe that we're kind of on the inside, right, we're still on the outside looking in. Hearing Eli's speech, I'd like to hear one of those one day.
Yeah, and I always say
I heard a few of them.
He calls people sir, too.
I always look at the season. I always kind of divide the season up in threes. That first four or five games, you're really starting to build the identity of the team. And that identity is going to take you to that character phase, which they're going to now. You ran the ball a little bit better. You know, defensive line does have to play better and get to the quarterback. But you're starting to see some – you're starting to really see the identity of the character of this football team as they go in this second – really the second quarter. So we saw some good things on the ground, but, again – these are the good things you need to see because it's going to be a tough scratch ahead.
All right. Well, we're here at the stage at MetLife Central. We'll be doing it again next week from the Timex Performance Center. And next week is a big one. Giants 49ers from Candlestick Park in San Francisco. That is Sunday, October 14th. As always, immediately following the game, our Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Again, thank you for being part of our Giants Post Game Live presented by Timex on My Nine. We have our new digs today, live at the stage at MetLife Central. The fans have come out. You're at home watching us. Come back next week. Hopefully the Giants can improve their record to 4-2, and don't leave their hearts in San Francisco. See you next week.